Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, coming to you from Washington, D.C. United States Senator Jackie Rosen here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by the Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, your RTC, our community. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. University Medical Center of Southern Nevada. Compassion, accountability, integrity, respect. The Nevada Mining Association, mining a better future for Nevada. And NV Energy. NV Energy proudly serves Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Washington, D.C., we're delighted to welcome back to the program, and in person, thankfully, United States Senator Jackie Rosen. Pleasure to be back with you.
Oh, it's so great to be here and to see you in person as well.
Thank you. A lot of serious topics to jump into right away. Just to top of the news, get your initial reactions to what's going on with the Haitians at the border and being sent back to Haiti.
Well, I can tell you from the photos that I've seen that it's absolutely unacceptable what we've seen happening at the border. We need to be sure that we get down there and that we remedy this and that we treat anyone who comes to our border in a humane way that they absolutely deserve. But with all this being said, what this really leads us to is a fundamental question of that we have to address comprehensive immigration reform, one that does protect and secure our borders, but one that does allow pathways to citizenship, asylum seekers, and the like. And so Congress is going to have to come to the table and do the hard work about what that takes. And the situations at the border, they've been going on for many years through many administrations. We have to take a look at it, figure out what is the kind, humane thing to do that.
Okay, so I couldn't agree with you more. But of course, as you well know, the last time we did major immigration reform that was comprehensive was 1986. And it took from 1977, with Jimmy Carter starting things off, to get it finally accomplished under Ronald Reagan. So do you see any chance, with all the other things that are happening in Congress, that this could be on the calendar over the next 18 months, or is it going to be after the next presidential election?
Well, I'm hopeful that we may be able to introduce it into some bills. I know we saw the parliamentarian discount it for our disregard it, not allow it, actually, in the reconciliation bill. I know that teams on our side are trying to find another pathway, whether there's another way to get it in the reconciliation bill or to get it on the agenda. So this is top of mind. We look at these pictures every day. They're ongoing. It's a humanitarian crisis, but we must secure our borders, have a pathway. I think both sides of the aisle agree on that. We have to do the hard thing and come together and work on it.
Okay, so what did you think about the role of the parliamentarian? And were you satisfied that there was an appropriate outcome based on, you know, tradition of the Senate?
Well, the role of parliamentarian is really important. And I know her, and I believe that she's doing what she believes is the right thing for her job. doesn't mean that I'm any less disappointed in the way that she ruled, which is why in our caucus we have people looking again at the rules, how we might address this in another way. Maybe we can have another bite at it in reconciliation. We're working on that right now. We'll go back in front of the parliamentarian and see if we can get that ruled in order.
So you weren't in a situation, as others have suggested in the press, that she should be perhaps fired because of this decision?
Well, I think that you have to look at somebody's overall service to their country. And so has she provided her service, a respect for her job, a respect for the institution? And so I think you have to look at someone in their entirety before you make that kind of decision. And so that's how I'm looking at her. I guess we'll continue to see how she performs her job and what we might think about that. But I think people have tried to look at her service as a whole and maybe not one issue in particular.
Abortion rights. Obviously, this has come to the foreground in the last couple of weeks because of what happened in Texas and then the Supreme Court's response. What are your thoughts on the survival of Roe versus Wade? Because, you know, to so many people, it appears to be settled law, but now there are many questions about it.
Well, it is settled law. And not just settled law, but it has been in our country for so many years. Young women count on the ability to have control over their reproductive rights, to have control over their body and their choices as it relates to their reproductive freedom. So we can get into all the aspects that people talk about, whether people say, well, there's an exception for rape or incest, but no exception for disease, no exception for health of the mother. There's so many different details, but what it comes down to is this. Women have the right to have control over their body and who makes those choices for them. And so that's what we're going to continue to fight for. That's what we're going to uphold. It's been the law of the land since the 1970s, and we're going to fight to do everything we can to keep it that way.
Do you think there's an irony that some of the same people that are looking to tear down Roe v. Wade are the people who are the anti-vaxxers?
Well, what I do want to say to this is when people say, my body, my choice, maybe they do understand how that feels to have somebody speak about you in ways that you may not agree. Now, I would argue that the vaccinations are a public health issue. And so, of course, through the course of over the last, maybe not nearly 100 years, but so many years in the last century, we've had vaccines for so many things. Polio, smallpox, mumps, measles, rubella, chickenpox. Everyone, when I was a kid, got chickenpox. Now they have shingles as they get older. There's no more chickenpox. So we're used to vaccines in this country. They've been safe. They've been effective. Of course, the vaccine for COVID is safe. It's effective. It's free. It's the best way for us to get through this pandemic so we can begin to live our lives again. Our country can begin to thrive again. We have so many things to work on, so many things to look forward to that I think that's the best way out of this. And so one's a public health issue, a public safety issue, and one is a personal issue. So just leave it at that.
Do you think that politicians have tried to push the vaccine and say, go ahead and get vaccinated, you know, for all the reasons that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. But do you think in the end it's going to be businesses and institutions like universities and schools that say, if you're not vaccinated, you don't have a job. If you're not vaccinated, you can't come to school. Do you think that that's in the end going to be the major solution to getting the majority of this country vaccinated?
Well, I think in some ways it surely is part of the solution because there's a real economic impact to our society if people continue to get sick, and not to mention the impact of over 600,000 people who've died. You can go to the mall right here, the National Mall, and you can see those 600 some thousand flags. Every one of them has a name of someone who died. They're a real person. They had parents, grandparents. God forbid they're someone's child. These are losses. These are people who are never going to come back that maybe we could have saved. And so when we think about not just the economic loss to business, and that's very important, but the personal loss for each and every one of us, and the potential that was lost for all these people to die, so many unnecessarily. This is why I think the vaccination is so important. I think around the world there's been billions of doses given in the last, I guess they started in about December, and so it's been shown to be safe and effective, and I think it is the way out of this pandemic.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with United States Senator Jackie Rosen here in Washington, D.C. after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan, we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Washington, D.C., from the United States Senate recording studio with United States Senator Jackie Rosen. You're a member of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security. We had what was supposed to be a big protest as we're taping this last weekend. It turned out that there were more police and members of the media than there were protesters. But domestic terrorism, obviously, is something that is still of concern. Mm-hmm. What are your biggest concerns?
Well, I can tell you that we've had from the prior administration and this administration testifying before us, of course, FBI Director Christopher Wray and the former Secretary of Homeland Security and, of course, the current one, Secretary Mayorkas. And what they have all said and all the reports show that domestic violent extremism, specifically in the form of anti-Semitism, is the most persistent and lethal threat to the homeland right here. Christopher Wray, Director Wray, just reported that the cases reported to the FBI, domestic violent extremism, have doubled in the last few years. So this is something we really have to talk about. What I questioned them about just this week were some of the things that we can do to prevent the radicalization, the online radicalization of domestic terrorists, and how we think about that, how we try to prevent attacks, and how we try to work with people and try to prevent them from becoming radicalized, because we can't allow this kind of terror to reign in our nation.
All right, but how do you do that? Because, it's so pervasive in terms of the internet and communications and encrypted communications. Do we have the resources to be able to go beyond what might normally think to be able to find this?
Well, I think the FBI, Homeland Security, along with lots of community partners, of course, in Southern Nevada, we have that great fusion center. We have the Joint Terrorism Task Force that they partner with communities all across the country. So what we have to do is enable the lines of communication and collaboration between local communities on the ground all the way up to hear maybe FBI and DHS in Washington. So we can disseminate, share information, collaborate on best practices. You may hear what chatter's going on, who's speaking with who. And these are the kinds of ways when we work together from the ground up at the community level that we can begin to see what's happening, because it happens right in people's neighborhoods, even though they may collect online from other places. So we're going to begin with that. I think Encryption Director Ray did speak about the challenge that that is and some of the lines of communication, but the FBI has their sources and methods that they go in to try to work within these groups or around the groups to prevent domestic terrorism. It's been really, really important. We're going to have to keep working on it.
So going back to when the Murrah Building was blown up in Oklahoma City, so that would have been the 90s, mm-hmm. You know, it's not like these groups haven't been around forever. And even in Nevada, there are cults that mm-hmm. exist, and although they have not been particularly active since the 90s, although there were some bombings at BLM buildings in Reno and Carson City mm-hmm. back in those days, this isn't something new. So do you think that we have the ability to be able to do things beforehand, or are we mostly being able to gather intelligence that prevents the next situation?
Well, I think the more we know, the more we're able to maybe create counter-programming, give out other kinds of information, give alternatives to people. Of course, we've always had domestic extremism in our country, but now with the internet and people being able to seek each other out from far corners of the country where they might not have been able to do that if they were in person and had to go meet in an office building or some other place, that does complicate things. But I think the more we know, the more we educate the general public, the better we are going to be at preventing and attacking these preventing these kinds of attacks from coming. I can tell you about one thing we're doing. We have a nonprofit security grant that we fund through Homeland Security. That nonprofit security grant gives money, again, in communities to local churches, synagogues, mosques, community centers, so that they can be sure that they find the best ways to protect themselves whenever their threat might be in the local community. That nonprofit security grant's been very popular. It's been used across the country, and it allows people, again, on the ground in their community to fight against terrorism the way they see it. So those are the other kinds of things we can fund. We're going to keep doing that. Of course, we have the UASI grants, Urban Area Security Initiative. Again, our Fusion Center have been there many times, does a great job thinking about just general targets like Las Vegas in general. Hoover Dam, we have the Nevada test site, we have, of course, Nellis Air Force Base, thinking about, up north we have Fallon, or our critical infrastructure or things that might be targets. So those Urban Area Security Initiative grants and that funding, really important, again, to stop any domestic terrorism. We see it against, I can speak more to the terror sites issues in Nevada than I can necessarily across the country, but they're extremely important. We're going to continue to expand and build upon those. So at the community level, where people know each other best, they can decide on the right solutions to protect themselves.
Okay, why anti-Semitism rising to the top here? Is there something that has triggered this? Or is it just always been there and we're just now able to identify it better?
I think that it's always been there. We're able to maybe identify it better, and it just appears to be that domestic violent extremists in the form of white supremacy, taking the form of anti-Semitic hate, has been on the forefront and on the rise, not just in the United States, but I would say across the world right now. These are things we have to not only partner with folks here in this country against any terror against religious institutions, of course, but with our partners, our global partners, to fight anti-Semitism around the world as we see it. And so we're going to continue to do that. We have a new position in the administration. It used to be a special envoy to combat global anti-Semitism. Last administration, myself along with others, we were able to get that position elevated to the ambassador level. So regardless of administration, there'll be an ambassador that will combat global anti-Semitism, working with the administration, working with Congress. I'm a co-founder of the bipartisan task force to combat anti-Semitism. We have some other things that we're also working on as well, but to work with our three branches of government and global parliamentarians around the world to stop this kind of hate.
All right, let's take a break. More with United States Senator Jackie Rosen after this timeout.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by the Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, your RTC, our community, Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you, University Medical Center of Southern Nevada, compassion, accountability, integrity, respect, the Nevada Mining Association, mining a better future for Nevada, and NV Energy. NV Energy proudly serves Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation here in Washington, D.C. with United States Senator Jackie Rosen. Cybersecurity. Ira Victor, who is a good friend of this program, has been on the show many times, is a cybersecurity expert. And every time he comes on the program, he scares the heck out of me. In terms of all of the problems that we are dealing with cybersecurity. You are dealing with cybersecurity here in the United States Senate. It seems to me that we have lost all sense of privacy. That's gone out the window, and we've done it by our own choice of being on Amazon and on Facebook and all these other sites where we freely give up any rights to privacy. And then every week, it seems like another company or bank are revealing all of our information. Where are we with cybersecurity? And, you know, are we just throwing up our hands at this point and going, we're done?
Well, I certainly hope not. And I can tell you.
and this is your former business.
This is my former business. So I started my career as a computer programmer, systems analyst, writing, coding, designing software. And so these are things that I hope I have a good understanding about and things we have to work on. One of the big things we have to do is work on IT modernization. There's so many systems, of course, within our federal government, our local governments, they're out of date. They're not very nimble. And so they're maybe easier to hack. So we have to work on investing in IT modernization. That's something that our bipartisan infrastructure bill, working on broadband and some of these other things, these are really important we do that. It's important that we educate people. So, of course, I have a few bills. We've passed the Building Blocks of STEM Act that was passed a couple years ago. One of my first bills that I introduced, Teach Computer Science Act. We have to invest in teaching our young folks about technology and cybersecurity, how to protect themselves, get them excited to work in the field so that they can do these things. Like I said, I was just with NeuroRobotics, a company that is doing autonomous vehicles. They're partnering with our local schools, robotics teams, young math students, all of that, to get them excited about engineering, math, science, technology. These will be the things that protect us in the future as we try to tighten up our systems, educate our public, and we're just going to have to move forward and try to protect and close those holes as best we can.
Do you do online banking?
I do online banking.
Yes, and you're not concerned about that?
You know what? I think that there's real good cyber hygiene that you can do. You can change your password frequently. That's one thing that you can do yourself that you can control. So if you're constantly changing your passwords, maybe you might not, maybe you want to keep them in a notebook. If you believe in an old-fashioned way, you can keep them in a notebook in a drawer in your office, and that's fine. No one can see those. But there's a few things you can do. Maybe not take that phishing, take that bait if you get the phishing emails, like, oh, no, you're card has been compromised. Take a breath, take a step, go to that card, look on the back, dial the number that's on the back there and ask them. They'll tell you if not. Never click on the bait. So there's a few things that you can take control of right at home, very simple, every day that will keep you safe.
Okay, but do you talk to Experian and TransUnion and tell them the same thing? Because, you know, they are having problems too. I mean, there are lots of major corporations that are not able to keep this data secure. And we have about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're trying very hard to work with them. We're trying to create our with NIST, the cybersecurity standards. We're trying to work forward. I'm actually introducing a bill on the Civilian Cybersecurity Reserve, and that will take people who've been in federal government or in our services to allow them to go on a reserve status so they can come in and out of to help us if we need surge capacity, instruction, intervention in some way. So there's a lot of things we can do. We have to work on all of it. We have questioned some of those folks before our committees. They have to do a better job too, and we have to find a way to maybe hold their feet to the fire. But it's all of our responsibility, just in the same way to keep a light on and a lock on your front door and be careful that maybe who you let in, if somebody knocks on the door, that you check to see who they are before you invite them into your home. It's no different. So we have our personal responsibility and our businesses sharing that with us.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for taking out the time to do this. I know this is an incredibly busy week in Washington, and we really appreciate your time.
It is. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
More coverage from Nevada and from Washington, D.C. here on Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.